Former President Donald Trump's criminal election interference trial continues this morning in New York, and there's already new developments around it. CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum joins us right now. Thane, good morning. It's my understanding that a ruling has been made on the former president's violation of the judge's gag orders. What are the latest details?
Deanna, I was on a train to Washington, D.C., and so I don't know. I just got to my hotel room. But if you tell me what happened, if you see anything there, I can explain it.
I got you. I got you. No worries. So the judge did find, Judge Juan Merchan found that he did violate the gag order 9 times. And he's been ordered to pay $1,000 for each instance of violating that gag order. So a total of $9,000. Also rumblings that he could possibly face some jail time if he tries this stunt again.
So, right. So now, thank you for that. You brought me up to date. Now you and I work so well together, Deanna.
truly we do.
It's ridiculous. We should paint houses next.
Done. I'm all in.
So look, he got a discount because there were apparently 11 violations. It could have been 11,000. I don't think it makes a difference. The problem, one of the issues here, is that these are $1,000 per infraction. For a billionaire, there's no deterrent. So that's why he's saying, I'm going to put you in jail if there's more, because I understand that for you, $9,000 was worth every penny for you to bash, you know, the system, the two jurors that you think are biased, Michael Cohen, who you think is a horrible person, and he has no credibility. So I need you to be on notice, Mr. President, that going forward, I may not just tack on more thousands of dollars. I might actually consider a jail sentence for you for a period of time. Now, again, is that a real threat, Deanna? I don't know. I mean, that would be explosive to take a former president of the United States, who is the leading contender to regain the presidency by the polls and the standard bearer for the Republican Party, to put him in jail for essentially, yes, not cooperating with court. True, that is true. But, you know, it is essentially a First Amendment issue that he's raising. He's saying a gag order stops me from exercising my free speech rights. It says I have to gag. I can't speak. And I have a First Amendment right, which I do not forfeit simply because I'm a criminal defendant. And I certainly don't forfeit because I'm running for the presidency. And I believe these cases are designed to interfere with my election campaign. And I want the world to know that. And the way I tell people that is by bashing the people that are my accusers. That's an interesting question, that if it went to the Supreme Court with a conservative majority, I have a feeling they would say a gag order can't be applied against the president of the United States, who's running for president again and needs to be able to speak to the people.
Fascinating. Now, we saw a similar issue crop up during his civil trial as well, also getting fined. I don't remember the amount specifically, but
more.
There we go.
More. Yeah. Yeah. Your good memory. I think he told you we work so well together. Yeah. In civil court, the number was, I think, 10,000 per infraction. And I think she hit him for 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. So he had like 30,000. On the other hand, he was way more belligerent there. He was like talking in the courtroom. You know, he was just like, oh, yeah, really? he was everything you wouldn't want to be. You know, you're saying you're right, to his lawyer, would you please restrain your client? So he was smirking and he was, making noises. This he was not. He really wasn't. What they were complaining about was his social media posting, which are also restricted under the gag order.
Got it. Now, as for the trial itself, we're going beyond the gag order quickly, just to say who's returning to the witness stand today, how the trial's been progressing so far. I believe we're a week into it now, and I see that banker Gary Farrow is on the stand today. Who is he in relation to the criminal case?
So, Deanna, his role, remember, prosecutors have to paint the picture for the jury when they do their opening statement. They say, here's the picture, and we'll prove the picture, right? So they said, here's the picture. The picture is three guys, Cohen, Trump, Pecker. Pecker is the former publisher of the National Enquirer, conspired to cover up the various sexual escapades of this president to make sure that no one would speak about it in order to protect his campaign. Those payments, however they were, whether they went as hush money or, in the case of David Pecker, what's called catch and kill. I give you $150,000, and I buy the rights to your story. You can't tell it to anyone else but me, and I say I'm going to write it, but I don't have to write it. I'm not obligated to write it. So that's another way of hushing somebody. I buy your rights. You're not allowed to tell anyone else, and I don't use it. So the scheme is these guys use falsified business records to contribute campaign donations, essentially, indirectly, right? They're not technically campaign donations in the way like, here's the cash, Mr. President, spend it on TV advertising. Here it was, Mr. President, use your own cash to make a contribution to your campaign in excess of what you're allowed under the law by telling Stormy Daniels to keep her mouth shut. So Pecker testified last week. I'm not sure he helped the prosecution's case because he essentially said, you know, these catch and kill things, pretty standard routine practice. I did it with Tiger Woods. I did it with Arnold Schwarzenegger. So it's not like it's, I do this for campaign. I do this because it's good business to buy the rights to these stories and kill it. If I kill it, I can call up Arnold Schwarzenegger and say, look at the solid I just did for you. Now you owe me. I have leverage on you, right? It's like a blackmail scheme. You say, hey, buddy, you know, you didn't know I was your best friend, right? So that's what those are. So he told the jury, I do this stuff all the time. Saying I do it all the time doesn't make it look like a scheme to interfere with the presidential election. Sounds like it's what I do for a living. So I'm not sure. It does look like the three of them got together to do this. But he also was asked, was this also to protect Melania's feelings? And at one point he said, not really. And then at another day he goes, yeah, I think so. If it was there to protect his marriage, that has nothing to do with the campaign, right? And there's nothing illegal about paying someone off to keep their mouth shut. There's just nothing that happens all the time. There's thousands of them being signed right now, non-disclosure agreements. So the person who's testifying today is the Michael Cohen's banker who opened up an account with $130,000 in it to be used for Stormy Daniels. So by bringing in the banker, it starts to look like shadier, right? A separate account was created just for Stormy. The money went in there, and that one money went back. That's all he's really got. He's basically saying, I work with Michael Cohen. He has tons of accounts. They're for all sorts of different reasons. He's a fixer, after all, was. And this account, I knew, eventually went to Stormy. That's really his testimony. I don't know. You tell me whether, if you're a juror, how damning that is in your mind. I don't know. There will be, I think, Hope Hicks, the former communications director, is expected to testify maybe next. I don't know. But of course, the big gorillas in the witness box are Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen. Everything we're hearing now is supposed to be setting up their testimony. So those are going to be the must see news. You'll have me on again.
I certainly will as the plot thickens and the trial progresses. CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum with the entire rundown of the Trump criminal trial going on right now in New York. Thane, again, thank you so much.
Anytime for you, Dan. Thank you.